ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः फ्रीडम् इस् इन् द विशन् आफ् दि नान् ड्युवालिटि आफ् द रियालिटि फ्रीडम् इस् द विशन् आफ् नान् ड्युवल् रियालिटि In the wake of which, two things will resolve, the duality will resolve, the perceiver perceived, aham idam, I resolves, idam jagat also will resolve. Aham idam, when I and this both resolves, the experiencer experienced resolve. There is resolving, it is not physical resolution, as you all know very well. It's a cognitive resolution. This is the problem. People want something to happen physically, because nothing will happen physically. Anything should happen physically, then people can accept it. It's easy to comprehend, isn't it? Because it is, there's no physically resolving duality is not there. There's only cognitive resolution of the whole. The whole includes what? The whole means the knower and the known. Here the Acharya in this Advaita Prakaranam, he establishes this fact of the absolute reality being one, secondless and non-dual. So to help us arrive at the fact, truth, being, one secondless non-dual has to show us the truth being, not that he wants to show, the fact is already the truth being, the truth is non-dual, and the truth, the non-dual reality being distinct from the cause as well as the effect. Because always we think of seeing the truth as the cause, isn't it? Because for us, cause of the universe is the truth. That's how we always see. The fear, even though we say Jagat Karanam, the cause of the universe, etc., we say, Ishvara can be seen as the cause of the universe. But here we are talking about where the duality is not there, isn't it? If you talk about Ishvara, then you have to talk about what? Again, the Jiva. You cannot talk about Ishvara without talking about the Jiva. So here, now, it is, we had to really go beyond this Jiva-Ishvara-Bheda also, and where you have to see the truth being distinct from even the cause as well as the effect, and for which he establishes how truth is not the cause of the universe. To establish the truth being not the cause of the universe, he has to say there's no effect. There's no effect means there's nothing is created. If something is created, is a product, then the truth becomes the cause of that created. So there's no Jiva, there's no Jagat. So Jiva Srishtihi and Jagat Srishtihi, which are very much discussed in the Shastram. Shastram accepts that. Therefore, here is there a Jiva, is there a Jagat? Means, first of all, he has to establish there's no Jivaha, there's no Jagat. So this the Jiva Srishtihi is also negated logically and scripturally. Jagat Srishti also is negated logically and scripturally. That's what we saw last. And in all these verses until now, we have seen how Gaudapacharya from third Karika onwards till the ninth, he negated the Jiva Srishti logically. Then after the tenth verse, he negated Jagat Srishti logically. And after 11th to 14th, he negated the Jagat Srishti logically, the Jiva Srishti again, scripturally. The scriptural negation of the Jiva Srishti is presented from 11th to 14th. And the 15th Karika onwards, he negates the Jagat Srishti with the support of the scripture, which we started last class. These are all old lessons. Let us go to the new class today, new lesson. We have to start from the 16th. Yeah, 15 we have already seen, but let me. So from this 15th Karika onwards, the creation of the Jagat is negated. Of course, the creation of Jagat has been negated logically, but here it is from all the 15 Karikas only to negate Jagat Srishti with support of the Shruti. Mrilloha Vispulinga Jaihi, Mrilloha Vispulinga Jaihi, Srishtir Yachoditan Yatha, Yachoditan Yatha, Upaya Sovataraya,
Upaya Sovataraya,
Nasti Bheda Kathanchana,
Nasti Bheda Kathanchana.
So, as I said already, the doubt might come. Upanishads themselves present the Srishtihi. There is a topic called the Srishtihi. The Srishti is discussed. And we have, which is called Karanakarya Prakriya, Srishti Prakriya. And we have this Prakriya is used here in the Upanishad. Which means that many Upanishads, different Upanishads present Srishti in different ways also. Which means the Tatparim of the Upanishad is not in Srishtihi. The aim of the Upanishad is not in Srishti. The very Srishti topic is presented, the Srishti is discussed just to negate the Srishti. We have to remember, Upanishads present Srishti for negating Srishti. To say there is no creation, there is only manifestation. So, that is why one might ask, I said already, this Chandogya Upanishad, this Mrilloha Vispulinga Dehi, usually Mrit, clay, Vispulingaha, spark, Lohaha means metal, even the gold, Swarnam, etc. All these are used as examples, in the sense how the earthen wares come into existence from clay, how the gold come, this ornaments come into existence from gold, made of gold. And also the sparks emerge from the conflagration of fire. The universe also has come into existence from the Ishvara, the cause, isn't it? So there's a truth. They talk about the Jagat Srishti. So he is Ya Chodita Anyatha. This which has been used, presented. He says, this is not for really making you see how the universe has come into existence. There is no such a thing called the universe has come into existence at all. It's only upayaha. It's only a support. It's only upayaha. Upaya for what? It's only upayaha to arrive at the fact of creation being not there. Which means it's only prakriya. The discussion of Srishti in the Upanishadic text is only a methodology, a method of unfoldment, method of arriving at the truth being one, non-dual, secondless, truth being not the cause also. And this is for this, we use this Adhyaropa Apavada Prakriya, the method. Adhyaropa Apavada method here is, see, this Adhyaropa Apavada method is used in different contexts. And here Adhyaropaha means superimposition and Apavadaha is negation. So what is superimposed here? Then you always take what is there, what is available for your perception, what is already there, what is known to you. You go from the unknown to the unknown. It's going from known to the unknown. So when you see, even our IKEA, when you see a nice lots of wooden furniture, you take one furniture and you see that it's a beautiful furniture, everything, and you see it's a product. You say it's a product. It's a, some manufactured, it's a product. And this, when you see this, and from there, what is it made of? Is it plastic? Is it wood? What is it? Is it steel? Or it is a metal? You just look into it and you arrive at, oh, it is only wood. It's a wooden furniture. It's a wood. For wood is the cause. From this, you see this particular table or cupboard. As this is a karyam, karyam and effect. And from there, you search for the what is it made of. What is that? The cause of it. You go to the cause wood. Once you go to the cause wood, this is the first two steps. Seeing the effect as an effect, seeing the object as an effect is the first step in adhyaropaha. Second step is what? Arriving at the wood being the cause of that is the second step in adhyaropaha. And the third is what now, actually, the next third step is what now? Apavadaha. Then you have, once you see the wood there, then you have to ask, is there a table? Where is the table? You search for the table, there's no table. Why? Because it's only the wood. You can search all over the table, under the table, above the table. You cannot find a table other than the wood. Because you resolved the table in the wood. Isn't it? You resolved the table in the very wood. Wood alone is there. There is no table. This is the third step. When you say there is no table, means what now? There is no karyam. There is no such a thing. You started with the karyam. You arrived at the karanam. In the karanam, you resolve the karyam again, the effect. Now, you resolve the karyam. In Tamil, you want marathai marathadu mamadayanai, marathil marindadu mamadayanai, isn't it? So, you arrive at this, you see, you search for, look, search for the table, it is resolved. Effect becomes resolved in the very wood, the table, cause. So, this negation of karyam is the third step. It is not possible for it to negate the effect unless you arrive at the cause. You too arrive at the cause, isn't it? You negate the effect in the cause. Then having negated the effect in the cause, then you have to say what? The effect is negated in the cause. Then will there be causal status anymore for the cause? If there's no effect, means the wood also will lose its what? Wood, the cause will continue to exist. The cause will lose its status of being the cause. The wood will continue to exist there, but what it loses is the status of being the cause. Why? If without the effect, how can there be cause? There's no cause. So causal status goes, effect status goes, you arrive at what now? You understand what is there is satyam alone. See, the causal status is negated. Is it clear now? You negate the causal status, not karanam. The effect is resolved means there is no cause. Have you all got it? It's the important point to negate the causal status. Isn't it? Any cause, you like this. You can take any example for this. So take an ornament. See what is it made of. It is made of gold. So arrive at the cause. Once you see the cause, resolve the effect chain or an ornament, any ornament in the very gold, the effect is negated. When the effect is negated, the karyam is negated, then what is there is only gold when you say, will there be a status of being the cause again? No. Without the effect, why, how can there be cause? Cause of what? There is no effect means cause of what? There is no karanam also. This negation of the status of being the cause is the final step. So negation of the effect, and thereby negation of the status, causal status. Finally, these two steps are what now? Apavadaha. Understood now? The first two steps involve called adhyaropaha. Apavadaha involves two steps. Negation of effect, the negation of the causal status. Is it clear? This is a prakriya. So, this is why one upayaha avataraya. This adhyaropa apavada prakriya is used in the shastram for which the srishti is introduced. The srishti, the creation is discussed. For what? Avataraya is only for driving home the fact of truth being not the cause. Isn't it? So, as I told you, please don't take this word avatara for something else, okay? Avatara has not any other word. Avatara is only understanding here. Avataraya means avagamanaya, for understanding. It's a stepping stone. It's a upayaha, it's a means, supportive means of arriving at the fact, understanding the fact of the truth being not the cause of the universe. Is it clear? Yeah. Which means, what do you say then? The whole jagat is only manifestation or appearance of the truth. Therefore, which means, nasti bhedaha katanchana, there is no difference or whatsoever. There is no such thing called as a karanakarya. Difference is not there. Anyway, let us see the next verse now.
Ashramastrividhahina madhyamotkrishta drishtayah. Ashramastrividhahina madhyamotkrishta drishtayah.
See, the 15th karika, I explained very clearly in the last class itself. The only one point which I did not say last class is the truth losing its status of being the cause in this class. Okay, negation of the causal status of the truth, isn't it? That is what we didn't say last class. You have to say that. You have to say truth alone is, finally. When you negate the causal status, what you say? Truth alone is in the form of the jagat. So you see the jagat as karyam, and see jagat karanam, you say jagat karanam Ishwaraha, a param brahma, you can say. Thereafter you say, is there anything other than Ishwara here? Is there anything other than the param brahma here? No, there's no jagat. Why? Only param brahma is here. They negate the jagat karyam, universe, in param brahma. Thereafter you say what now? Then when the jagat being the effect is negated, jagat universe being the effect is negated, then there is no effect. If there is no effect means, then what? Where is the cause? A cause of what? Therefore Brahman or Ishvara, this is the causal status superimposed upon Ishvara or Brahman also is, gets negated. Then you say Brahman alone is there. Okay, jagat karyam, first superimposition, step one. Then arrive at the truth, see Brahman, Ishvara as the cause of the universe. Then you say, when the cause is there, the entire effect is nothing but the cause. Resolve the effect in the cause. There is no such thing called effect other than the cause. Once you say, this the third step is what? There is only the truth. Is only the cause, there is no effect. The negation of the jagat as an effect, karyam, step 3, which is apavada, negation. Later on, if jagat, the karyam is not there, the only truth there, then there's no karanam also. The causal status you negate as the fourth step. There's only Brahma. Brahmaiva asti. Brahmaiva idam sarvam. When you say Brahmaiva idam sarvam, you also negated what? The aham idam. The duality is negated. the knower known duality is negated. Karana karya duality is negated. Ishvara jiva duality is negated. Jiva jiva duality is negated. Okay, Jagad Ishvara duality is negated. Negate all the dualities, you say, just truth alone is in the form of this Jagat. This is the thing. Now we'll see the next one. Ashramas trividha hina.
Ashramas trividha hina.
Actually, trividha, the hina madhyamot krishta drishtayaha. Madhyamot krishta drishtayaha. Upasanopadishteyam.
Upasanopadishteyam.
Tadarthamanukampaya.
Tadarthamanukampaya.
Suppose the next question comes. If there is no duality, non-duality is the absolute reality. There is no such thing, difference as jiva, ishvara, bheda is not there. The worshipper, worship difference also cannot be there. Then why is this upasana? Why is this something called upasanam, the meditation, etc., is prescribed in the worship, any puja? The worship, the meditation, etc. are prescribed in the very Shastram. Why are many meditations, many techniques are presented here, prescribed here? So that is, he said, which means I am a meditator, definitely when the meditations are presented, the meditator, meditated difference is there, also becomes established, isn't it? Without the difference, how can I meditate on what? You must have, I am the meditator, that notion must be there. And Ishvara is the object of meditation must be there. So the meditator, meditated difference must be there, isn't it? So upasanas are prescribed. How is it? That is why here, Acharya, he says, ashramaha. Ashramaha here should not be taken as the ashramaha. Here, the people who are given to the pursuit of knowledge. Seekers. Ashramaha here means seekers. The people of all ashramas who are ultimately the seekers. Okay? Ashramaha here means simply say seekers. Sadhakaha. People who are given to the pursuit of knowledge. Such people ashramaha. Trividhaha. So all the people, all the seekers are not of the same levels. There is nobody superior or inferior, but one is ahead, one is behind. Shastram does not talk about the superiority of anybody, inferiority of anybody. Whoever is now ahead must have been once upon a time behind. And one who is ahead now, one who is behind now is going to come ahead definitely. There is no such thing called, that's why Shastram is very careful. Never talks about the superiority or inferiority of anybody here. There are some who are ahead, some who are behind. That's all. The who are behind have to proceed and progress and reach, they go ahead. Isn't it? The seekers are of different levels. And what are they? He says, Hina Madhyama Utkrishtayaha. So there are exalted people of highly evolved levels. And Madhyama, the mediocre. And also, Adama, Hina, people who have yet to become prepared, who yet to become qualified for knowledge. People who are already prepared for Jnanam. So people of these different levels, when you say, already people are mentally prepared for Jnanam, who are mentally pure and steady, because of like living a life of karma yoga, either in this janma or in the previous janmas, having lived a clean life, who are already evolved and ready. Utkrishta. Now, utkrishtaha sadhakaha. Now, also then madhyamaha, people who have yet to become mentally pure and steady, are people who have very long way to go, isn't it? Hina. So, like that, people who have yet to become, it will take long time for them to become qualified. Who need a lot of tapas, who need a lot of disciplines. For Hina Madhyama Utkrishtayaha, people are there. So upasana upadishta iyam. You have to understand upasanam, upasana. It can be a feminine noun or it can be a neuter noun. But here upasana is used, feminine noun is used. Therefore, iyam upasana, this meditation wherein the duality is involved, the meditator, meditated division is involved, this meditation is prescribed, upadishta, it has been taught, for what? Upasana iyam upadishta, for the sake of people who have yet to become pure and steady, who yet to become prepared for jnanam, who are not yet ready for jnanam, for their sake upasanam has been prescribed. Which means anukampaya, tadartham anukampaya. Anukampaha here means compassion. No, out of compassion. You know, the anukampaha, the kampaha, actually anukampaha is the compassion, mercy, isn't it? So, anukampaya upasanayam upadishta. The meditation has been prescribed out of compassion for those who have yet to become ready for jnanam. Or not ready for jnanam. Which means, that is why I told you already why Shruti is called Shruti Mata. Shruti, the Veda is always likened to a Mata, mother. Just as mother understands the needs of the child, you know, Shruti understands the needs of, you know, whatever the child needs, Shruti understands. For emotional well-being of the person, how the person has to be, emotional well-being has to be taken care of. In the sense, if well-being has to be maintained, so finally, so that they be prepared for jnanam. Isn't it? So prescribing something which is appropriate. That's why Gurumukhat Shastra Shravanam Karaniyam, why it is said that one has to study the Shastram with the help of the teacher who knows the Sampradaya, only then you understand what, which sadhana is for what. Which sadhana can do what. What can Karma Yoga do? What Karma Yoga cannot do? What can Upasanam do? What it cannot do? What is the limitation of it? You need to understand the usefulness, advantages, at the same time limitations of each sadhana. You know, we need to know. So what should be the prerequisite sadhana, what is to be followed later on? You can't say, let me first do Nidityasana, then go to Shravanam. You should understand all issues, know very well all those things. A Shravanam should precede, Mananam should follow, Nidityasana will be natural if you have done Shravanam and Mananam. Isn't it? Therefore, he says, it's only for those, the sake of those who were to prepare. Which means, Shastram not only reveals the vision of the truth, not only Shastram serves as a means of knowledge of the truth, Shastram also prescribes tips and techniques, you know, for preparing your mind, for becoming qualified for this jnanam. That's also said here. Okay. Now, having said this much, suppose there is a deviation from the topic. From verse number 15, 16 we have seen. 17th to 22nd, we can say, Gaudapada Acharya Ji wants to say, if this vision of non-duality being the fact, or the non-reality being non-dual, reality is non-dual, and this is a fact, and if this fact is not understood, what will be the consequences? The consequences, how it will, if the duality is accepted as reality. If non-duality is not accepted, see, it's not simply accepting, it is a fact. It is not simply accepting it. So acceptance of non-duality implies understanding of the non-reality being non-dual, you know, understanding of the fact that reality is non-dual. Understanding alone is what now will result in acceptance. Therefore, if it is not accepted, means then duality becomes real. If non-duality is not real, then duality will become real. If the duality is taken to be the absolute reality, what will be the consequences? How it will result in all forms of emotional, emotional problems. First thing I tell you, you cannot resolve. Then you find that duality means the truth is other than myself. Then God becomes an object. In duality, God will be an object. And the truth will be other than myself. Finished. The sense of smallness centered on I will ever be there. And you have to be begging the Lord throughout. There's no way of saying enough, isn't it, to your prayer also. There will be throughout. Therefore, this duality will be there. The sense of smallness, the sense of inadequacy centered on I, which is the common human fundamental problem. This problem will continue to be there. There's no way of resolving this problem. This is one thing. And if God is outside means, object means, what will happen? Object means it is now experienceable, isn't it? Any object means it is experienceable. And then which means we use our mind, we use our, suppose what is, what I see as the truth, what I see as the God in my view, what is in my view, my interpretation of what I see as the truth is based on the capacity of my instruments of perception. My intellectual capacity, my mental, capacity and my sense organs. So all the truth becomes what validated by what? How I see it. Therefore, there'll be many interpretations and many views. Everyone will say what now? What I see, because nobody can deny one's own perception. Everybody will say what I see is correct, which means, is it clear now? Then there'll be many, many views. Many views. And once the views become many, what happens? You can say God is formless and still we can use the pronoun such as he or she. Not Anna. You can't use this. Is another problem. How will you clear it? If you say God is formless and how still you can use the pronoun he or she. It's not right, isn't it? You can think for yourself. Then what happens? My God is the only correct truth. And others' gods are not equally powerful. So there's only one Savior. And that Savior is, the God who I see as God. Is another problem. This is happens what now? It is not only this problem exists in other cultures. Within the Hinduism also we have these problems. Not only outside, isn't it? So we'll say what now? We have staunch Vaishnavites, staunch Saivites and staunch, we have, that's why the very word staunch has come because of this problem. What's staunch? Isn't it? Staunch. Staunch Vaishnavites and staunch Shaivites. These differences come and the Vaishnavites in Tamil Nadu will say, there is no such thing. You can't even use the term. The leaf, something, the basilic, the tulsi, there's a sea and because the sea comes, and the Vaishnavites, they would not like to use the word sea. They will not utter the word Tulasi. They'll say Tiruturai. Why? Because the sea, if I use, means the Shiva word she comes, isn't it? So I don't want to. So staunch. The fanaticism can go to that extent. And these people, these Vaishnavites, they will say that. The Shaivites will say, they will not say that. The Shaivites will say, oh my God. They also say it is not appropriate for people to go to the sadhus who have basmadharis. Some sadhus are basmadharis and you should not even go to them. it is Mahapapam to go to such people. It's a great sin for you to go to such sadhus. It's all confusions. And there will be some people who will say, there will be some people who can say what? These people will go for a pilgrimage, long pilgrimage, they'll go in India. They take them together. But when they go, when the Shaivites will sit in the bus, they will not get and go. Because it's a Vishnu temple, they won't go. It's all idiotic, isn't it? So, what it is said, here is all, see, it's always nice to have, be committed to a given form, to worship. You don't need to have too many things. You don't need to be committed to too many things. Commitment can be to one given altar, which can represent Lord in any form, any name. It's okay, no problem. But the idea must be what? That is why I'm not worshipping the form. I'm worshipping the Lord. It must be very clear, isn't it? And the form which I worship, I have chosen, is only an altar to represent Bhagavan the whole. That understanding must be there. So that's what here Gaudapada Acharya says, the consequences of how all these emotional problems, it can cause, take one to any amount of problems. The world was weathered because of this religious, even now we see in the world, how these the religious differences. So the religion supposed to prepare the mind, religion has served its purpose. Only if it contributes for preparing the mind ultimately for the truth, vision of the truth. Instead of contributing for preparing the mind for the vision of the truth, it can cause any amount of chaos. In the sense, it can cause any amount of religion supposed to contribute for the vision of the truth can contribute for quarrels and wars and endless destructions, isn't it? Destructions. Therefore, that is what he wants to say here. Swasiddhanta vyavastha. So the 17th onwards, there's a deviation, there's a diversion from the actual topic of the, what is the actual topic? The negation of creation. Isn't it? The negation of the Jagat Srishti, creation of the universe, support of the scripture is the main topic, and that is not here for this until this 22nd verse. You can relax a bit. It's not the serious classes. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu. See, because I'm not talking in India, I'm talking in this country here, so I don't want to go into the details, okay? And because it's all, what are consequences. Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu.
Swasiddhanta vyavasthasu.
Dvaitino nischita dridham.
Dvaitino nischita dridham.
Parasparam virudhyante.
Parasparam virudhyante.
Tairayam na virudhyate.
Tairayam na virudhyate.
So, Swasiddhanta Vyavasthasu. Suppose, actually, when we understand the concept of Ishvara, all that is here is Ishvara. Isn't all that is here is only Bhagavan. Instead of saying, there's no second thing other than Bhagavan. If that is the vision of Ishvara, and that Ishvara is another than Parambrahma, there's no real the Ishvara means you only a title you attribute, isn't it? A title attributed to the truth. There's no Ishvara other than the truth. All that is here is Ishvara, all that is here is Parambrahma. That vision must be the correct thing. And wherein even without knowing also, it resolves. That is the vision wherein the very Ahankara is completely resolved. See, seeing yourself as a worshipper means is Ahankara. Know that? Seeing yourself as a worshipper is Ahankara, which means you see yourself as isolated I, other than the Lord, itself is Ahankara. That is why there is a beautiful Shatpadi Stotram. It is Adishankara Bhagavatpada Stotram. Adishankara Bhagavatpada, who established the vision of who re-established the, he is not his own discovery, isn't it? Advaita vision has been a fact of revealed by the Shastram, and Shankara Bhagavatpada re-established it, revived the teaching again. So in he has written so many stotrams. Why? Stotra means what? Which means there's a prayer. Prayer means you see yourself as an individual and you see your Bhagavan, as something other than you, and you pray to the Lord. And in all his prayers, that's the beauty of Shankaracharya's the writings. Everywhere the prayer is so beautiful. The Shatpadi Stotram, I don't know whether I taught you here. The very first place, Avinayam Apanaya Vishnu. The one prayer. What should, as a devotee, what are you praying for? Avinayam Apanaya Vishnu. Damaya Manashamaya Vishaya Mrugatrishnam. Bhutadayam Vistaraya. Taraya Samsara Sagarataḥ. I'm happy Nina has memorized it. what I say? This, the whole first verse is a prayer. Whose composition it is? Adishankara Bhagavatpada's. And what is the prayer? The intelligent, prudent person's prayer will be this. Samsara Sagarataḥ Taraya. O Lord, may you uplift me, elevate me from this ocean of, life of transmigration, life of becoming. And for which he says, what all I need for that? He starts with the jnanam. First thing he asks for jnanam. Avinayam apanaya. This is the prayer one. For that jnanam, what do I want? Damaya manaha. Shamaya Vishaya Mrigatrishnam. Damaya Shamaya Manaha Vishaya Mrigatrishnam. Then Bhuta Dayam Vistaraya. Finished. He says, what jnanam I want? First thing he says is jnanam I want. Please bless me with the knowledge. Please bless me with the vision of the truth. Please bless me with the vision of your Swarupam. Why? Because only seeing the Swarupam of the Lord as one's own Swarupam, I will resolve. So, Avinayam Apanaya means Vinayaha means humility. Vinayaha Vinamrata means humility. So, Avinayaha means what? Opposite of Vinayaha is what now? Absence of humility. So, what is humility? Ahankaraha, isn't it? Arrogance. So, what is humility? It is not simply bending and then remain standing folded hands. Not that. Vinayaha, actually, the humility is seeing only Bhagavan is there, I am not there. This is the humility. Swami, humility means not people humble. What is humble? How humble you are? Well, how to measure your humility? How much humbleness, humility you have? How to measure it? There is no such a thing called humility, okay? Other than seeing oneself. I do not see myself anymore. I'm not there. Only Bhagavan is there. That is wherein completely ahankara, there is resolving ahankara, resolution of ahankara, resolution of individuality in totality. Now, this is offering ahankara. It's called offering oneself to Bhagavan and bringing Bhagavan into oneself. When you brought Bhagavan there, when you offered yourself to Bhagavan, you have brought Bhagavan, you filled Bhagavan in you. Understand? This is what is avinayam apanaya. So, Irevanai Tannul Konduvarudal. I say what? Isn't it? So, see, bringing Bhagavan into oneself implies what? There's no way of bringing Bhagavan, filling yourself, filling Bhagavan, filling your, getting, having yourself filled with Bhagavan means what? Which means Bhagavan has been brought into you. Bhagavan has come means you are resolved in Bhagavan. This is what is the humility. Vinayaha. So, avinayam apanaya, which means, O Lord, help me resolve my ahankara. This is the prayer. Avinayam apanaya means remove my, help me resolve my ahankara. That is the prayer. Avinayam apanaya. So, resolution of ahankara implies what? How can resolve ahankara? There is no way of resolving ahankara unless and until you have the true vision of the truth. You see, Ishvara Swarupam as your own Swarupam. This is the very first prayer. Avinayam apanaya. Now, I'm not just going out to other topics, okay? Manahadamaya, Shamaya, Vishyamirgatishna, you've been studying all the time. I don't need to teach you those things. Now, what I want to say, why the vision of the truth? Isn't even for that, you need Bhagavan's grace. Until then, prayer is important, worship is important, meditation is important. For the vision, you need everything. So, Dvaitam we should begin with the Dvaitam in order to arrive at the Advaitam. Now, so, which means you have to come out of Dvaitam to remain in Advaitam. So, not getting into Dvaitam also is not right, which means non-entry also into Dvaitam will make you good for nothing. So, it's very important for us to enter into Dvaitam. So, Dvaitam will be incomplete without the Advaita vision. Advaitam will be impossible without Dvaitam. Impossible. Therefore, it's very important to, I don't know whether I told you in this last class here, when you enter into the university, you enter into the university for your, degree, for your post-graduation, for your PhD, for your whatever it is. Once you enter then, and you may admire the whole location, the departments, the labs, and the libraries, and the professors, the teaching, and everything fantastic, including hostel food, you may enjoy. You may like to stay there. And once you finish the course, you are very happy to pack up your things and come out of the university after getting certificate. You don't want to get stuck there forever. Will you say, no, I don't want to go out. No, the university is very nice campus. Let me stay here forever. You don't say that. Why? Because the very intention of entering into the university is to come out of the university. You are very sure. Every student before entering into the university is very sure, very definite, no doubt whatsoever. I'm entering into the university in order to do what I need to fulfill here. Then, come out successfully. That's the very purpose, isn't it? You are so clear. There's no doubt. Similarly here also, when the Shastram prescribes initially the most voluminous portion of the Veda, the whole Karma Kanda prescribes what? Karma, performance of rituals, worship, puja, upasana, meditation, all those things. Now to enter there, not to get stuck there, but to come out of it. So here what happens? You to come out of it, isn't it? Therefore, similarly here, sometimes when we are given to the practice of worship, etc. also, what happens? We get stuck with the murtis. It happened even for Tyagaraja Swami. It's very difficult for him to the emotionally what he went through, having lost his Rama Vigraham, is something amazing. I don't know whether you heard about it. Lots of emotional songs now you would have heard. It is very difficult. Mahatmas, he is a Mahatma. Even for great people, when you are given to certain things, it's difficult. Also, emotionally, you get stuck there. Emotionally, you get entangled with the forms or names or things. Very natural. But still, we should also know to come out. That's why Shastra study alone will help. Systematic study of the Shastram will help you how to hold on to this, different forms of worship, etc., meditations, etc., how to use them, how to be with them, and how to be without them. Is it? For everything, because systematic study is important. You will know the usefulness of it, advantages of it, the limitations of it. You will also, without any pain, you will know how to get out of it also. That is something very important. Therefore, what I want to say here, the humility, as we think, is not something different. The real humility is in seeing oneself being non-separate from Bhagavan. And seeing Bhagavan, everything as Bhagavan, is the real humility. This is the height. You cannot be more humble than that, because you resolve your, very lose your identity there. No, in Bhagavan. Don't lose your identity anywhere else, only in Bhagavan. That's what is the idea. So Siddhanta Vyavasthasu. Let us read the verse again. Swasiddhanta Vyavasthasu Dvaiti No Nischita Dridham Parasparam Virudhyante Tairayam Na Virudhyate. So swa siddhanta vyavasthasu dvaitinaha nischitaha dridham nischitaha. Those who are firm, dvaitinaha dridham nischitaha, they're very firm in their own views. They will not, they're very argumentative, very firm, because what I say is correct, you are wrong. So this is called dridham nischitaha, means what? They're so convinced and then so the firm in proving, in argue, you know, that what their view is the correct one. Is it? Dridham nischitaha dvaitinaha. Where? What are they firm about? They are very firm about their own siddhanta, their own conclusions, their own views. Siddhanta is their own concluded views. It's called so siddhanta vivasthasu. Then parasparam virudhyante. Parasparam virudhyante means what now? They all opposed to each other. Parasparam virudhyante. Therefore, taihi ayam na virudhyate. Whereas, see, all these people of different views, the dvaitins, who are given to the fact, who are given to the belief of duality, they will be opposed to each other also. Whereas, an Advaiti, the one who is given to the fact of the vision of non-duality, na virudhyate, because he can validate everything. Oh, somebody is a worshipper, that worship can be validated. In the light of the Advaitic vision, everything can be validated. You can validate worship, you can validate prayer, you can worship, the worship of any form can be validated. Any discipline can be validated. Every discipline, every ritual, any puja, the different forms, different cultures, everything can be validated. You can validate. Which means, therefore there is no virodha. There is no virodha. In Advaita, the person who is given to the vision, the fact of Advaita, you know, is not opposed to any other views, because he can validate those views. Okay, you know, that one day they will see that. At least something you are holding on to, that is why you can encourage. Anything can be encouraged, because that commitment to that one thing will, in due course of time, will help a person grow. Prepare, one day it will bring the person to this vision. Advaitam paramarthohi
Advaitam paramarthohi
Dvaitam tadbheda uchyate
Dvaitam tadbheda uchyate
Tesham ubhayata dvaitam
Tesham ubhayata dvaitam
Tenayam na virudhyate. See, Advaitam Paramarthaha. See, for the person who is given to the vision of non-duality, or who is given to the fact of the non-duality, vision of non-duality being the fact, who is given to the vision of non-duality being the fact, for him, you know, is nothing is opposed. Now, in the sense, you are not opposed to anything. Why? Because Dvaitam is not something denied by the person who is given to the vision of the non-duality. Dvaitam is not something unacceptable. The Dvaitam is very much acceptable for an Advaiti. The duality is acceptable. How can an Advaiti not accept? How can he not accept the duality? Because duality has to be accepted, only then you can talk about what now? Advaitam. It is, duality is not accepted at all, because there is no need for him to establish Advaitam, isn't it? The very effort of establishing the Advaitam is because there is perceptual duality. There is duality which is empirically real, which is relatively real. The only difference is, so even Adishankara Bhagavatpada accepts this, what now, this Dvaitam being empirically real or relatively real, he accepted. It's not something non-acceptable, isn't it? Only thing is, the Dvaitam which is perceptually real, which is relatively real, empirically real, is not absolutely real. It is only mithya. That is the problem. Whereas for a person of Dvaitam, the empirically what is the jagat is real, absolutely real. It is not empirically real, it's not relatively real. Which means there is no vision of the non-dual reality. Therefore, Dvaitam is not something non-acceptable for an Advaiti. Dvaitam is very much acceptable, but how much is it acceptable? It's acceptable only as an empirical reality, as a relative reality, not as an absolute reality. Why? Because for him, Advaitam is paramarthaha, absolutely real. Advaitam is absolutely real. Dvaitam is relatively real. So, Advaitam paramarthaha hi, Dvaitam tadbheda uchyate. Then, tesham ubhayata dvaitam, tena ayam na viruddhyate. One more thing. Any, for a person of, Advaitic vision, any dvaiti is also what? Brahma. One who sees everything as Brahma, therefore there is no way of non-acceptance. This is the fact, okay, subtle fact. I had to develop few ideas here because we have made a commitment to do the puja today. We also have come for the sake of, because today is Amavasya, is it? New moon day. In the following class we have, following Saturday, we will make it, because I had to develop a lot of things here, step by step, to cover the whole thing. It's a beautiful, beautiful verse, portion. I want to complete all the 22nd the verses, the following class. I'll complete it. Now I'll just say one last point and then I will conclude this class. See, for a man of Advaitic vision, it's not the one who is simply talking, okay? For a person who revels in the vision of non-dual reality. For such a person, what is not Brahman here? Everything is Brahma. Everything is Brahma means, any Dvaiti becomes what? In his vision, is Brahma. It is this vision which helps everything, this is what we say, the accommodation in its, in its entirety. You can accommodate anything. The accommodation is any, because there's nothing which is outside of law and order. There's nothing which exists outside of the truth. Nothing which exists outside of the knowledge. Even though relatively there are differences, all the relative differences become resolved in absolute non-dual reality. Relative differences are there. If there are no differences at all, they don't need to work very hard to arrive at the vision. relatively differences are very much there, but all the relative differences will resolve in absolute truth. This one point he starts with, it's only one aspect. We had number two, number three, number four. We had to develop all other the verse which we just started. It needs a lot of time. So let us do it next class. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.